This is Doug Green, and I'm the publisher of Telecom Reseller. And today I'm with Todd Carruthers, who's the CRO of Counterpath. Todd, thank you for joining me today.
No problem. Thanks for having me. I always like to be a part of these podcasts, and thanks for inviting me back.
So we're going to be talking about something we haven't been talking about lately on these podcasts that we've been doing lately. We're going to be talking about a guide to augmenting VoIP services with collaboration offerings. And that seems to me to be very timely. But Todd, first, what is Counterpath?
So Counterpath is a company that started right around 2002. We have sold millions of clients into the industry since that time. And when I say clients, they're what I would call soft phones that work across any platform, any SIP-based platform for VoIP in the market. We have been known to kind of be the de facto standard, sometimes called that. And that's because of a lot of the early work we did in the IETF to help define the standards for SIP phones that really everyone uses today. And for us, you know, the user experience for UC and UCC starts from the soft phone because it's really the face of the service. So for us, it's a very important component of the entire user experience and something that we're, you know, known for in the industry and providing. And, you know, since since Counterpath first started kind of being in this market and focusing on the soft phone, we've since expanded and offer other, you know, either product or services from the product around team messaging, video conferencing, screen sharing, a lot of the things that we see in some of the other solutions. But we go back to our unique place in the market where we work against any call server platform out there today and just overlay those services to that.
So it seems to me that in the last few months, as we've been going through this crisis, the word collaboration has gone from, you know, something we sort of talk about to something we seem to be doing almost every hour by the hour with these types of meetings.
Yeah, absolutely. And I can almost pinpoint it down to the time where it happened and this kind of turnover in the market. And overnight, and probably actually more accurately, over a weekend, the value proposition went from, you know, everything about productivity, cost savings, things like that, to it's a necessity now. Because really that weekend of March, 14th, 15th, you know, people left on the 13th of March 13th and basically, you know, see you next Monday. And then on that 16th, it turned into don't come into work kind of thing. And so we've seen large growth in a lot of different solutions. And I think, you know, a lot would look at the likes of Zoom and Teams. Those certainly come up quite a bit. And others, you know, I think all of us in the market have seen growth too during this time. But I think it's important, though, that, you know, what we're seeing now is a little bit different then. And what I mean by that is that kind of overnight necessity forced a lot of hands of a lot of IT and operations teams just to quickly get a solution in place. And now what we're seeing, particularly through the lens of our channel partners, is kind of this reinvestment or this re-evaluation of the solutions and saying, okay, now what makes sense for us more long-term instead of staying with what we had to jump into. So that's an interesting kind of twist to the story, because I think a lot of folks just kind of assume that what people chose to begin with is what they're going to stay with. And I think that's not necessarily true. So I think over the next year, as this, you know, kind of the pandemic keeps to be as strong as it is and influencing our work decisions like that, and staying and work from home, you know, it's going to really be a little bit different process. And I think that you're going to see reevaluation of a lot of these tools going forward.
So it sounds to me like, yeah, we had this sort of scramble and people kind of just sort of put together a kit as best they could back in March or April. So are you saying that now people are starting to see, hey, I've got to create a wider strategy. I've got to put together something much more coherent?
Yeah. Yeah. And what kind of as an example for just illustrative purposes here, basically it's, you know, we need to have people work at home. So that means we need to have some kind of conferencing solution quickly that is more robust, provides what we, you know, tend to overuse in the industry, collaborative services and things like that. Now it's like, okay, now we have this almost dysfunctional set of tools that we had to scramble to put in place. And now we have users that are in our company that are using, you know, 2 to 5 or 7 tools that are disjointed, don't work well together, and more importantly, don't necessarily interface nicely to our external customers or external folks that we work with, and more importantly, doesn't really work well with our existing infrastructure that we've paced ourselves over the years to have a proper evolution plan and migration plan to support our everyday services such as voice. So even though today, for example, we're on a lot of video conferencing calls, the phone is still really important. In fact, a lot of the ways that we think about it is that, the mobile phone is your social security number of your personal life, and your business number is the same thing for your business life. So that's the one number that someone can get to you. They're not going to scramble looking at WhatsApp, Facebook, Instagram, all these other tools that you can communicate and talk to each other to try to get a hold of you. They're going to call that number, right? And of course, they could email you as well and things like that. And then with the rise of SMS and other services attached to the business number, it makes it even stronger. So that's kind of what I'm talking about is now that reevaluation phase, I'll say, we're going through in this pandemic of IT tools. Is stepping back and saying, okay, look, how can I reduce my costs? Because we still have that mandate as an IT organization or operations organization. And how can I increase the productivity? And that story now has changed from the use of the tool and the theme of being able to use video collaboration, things like that, to how do I reduce those tools to have a more seamless, kind of user experience. And we're seeing that pretty well through the lens of our product, because we are the face of the service as a client. We're the first part of that kind of user experience of being able to make phone calls. And for us, adding on team messaging, adding on video conferencing comes very easily on top of that business identity, that business phone number. And it's an overlay to what they already have today in place that they've had for years in place, which is the common PBX or hosted PBX service they have from other vendors. So we're starting to see more and more of that. I think it's going to be interesting over the next 6 to 12 months how this reevaluation goes and happens. But I think you're going to see kind of a switching of tools and a consolidation, more importantly, of tools going forward.
So Todd, let's break it down and let's start with the end user. If I'm an enterprise end user and as we've been discussing, back in March, I scrambled. Maybe I've been doing some refinements now. I'm trying to get a bigger picture. What are my next steps as an enterprise end user?
Yeah, so I think it's really important that the end user has kind of upward communications into the IT organization, operations team, to let them know what tools that you're using. Because what we're finding is a lot of IT folks are surprised that a lot of their employees are using different tools to communicate externally or internally of the business. So I think that communication helps because it helps guide kind of what the users are doing, what they're looking for, and also the main use cases and user experience that those users want. Going back to talking about the phone number, it's the phone number is always the central kind of identity that internal external folks will use to contact that person. So having a solution that centers around that and branches off this to other services that can be used internally, externally equally is very important. So as an example for us, we have a solution called Bria Teams. And Bria Teams has done well because it centers around that kind of core value proposition of everything happens around the phone number. Yet most of my communications, especially since COVID, come around the video conferencing side of it. So I have one application that is my phone. It's my soft phone. It works on my mobile device equally as it does on my desktop, meaning I don't have to sacrifice my user experience on the mobile. I don't have to sacrifice the quality, that kind of thing. And then it also adds on that team messaging and also the video conferencing capability. So basically, I almost think of it as a UCC remote control in my pocket or on my desktop that gives me the voice services that I've used for the past 20, 30 years for voice communication, but also extends itself and escalates communications into via team messaging or video conferencing and screen collaboration, all within one single application. You don't need three or four different applications. So you don't have Zoom, you don't have your Cisco hard phone, you don't have your Slack team messaging. You just have one, and it's Bria Teams in this example. And that's a very powerful type of a proposition, because for the end user, it simplifies life. It simplifies how they communicate. It makes it agnostic to people that don't happen to have the Bria Teams solution, because they can still access the same services when they're interacting with the person that does have Bria Teams. And then it also gives them the ability to use their phone system that they use, and you know, they get voicemail indication, things like that, that they can have, you know, kind of the best of both worlds nicely converge into one. So I think that's absolutely, you know, kind of where the end user and the enterprise side is coming from. And as we know, most of us out there are not going to be technical in the enterprise side, that to really juggle a bunch of different tools and understand all that. So the IT team loves having a single tool too, because it's easy for them to manage, less to manage. They can show the user experience better. So it makes it easier for the end user too, from that standpoint.
And I understand from what we've talked about before that Bria Teams also is a little bit easier to use for the actual end user, especially in companies where, you know, maybe some of the people may have some limited technical skills.
Yeah, that's correct. And in fact, we embrace web technologies and web services that make it easy for external users to access the services that are powered by Bria Teams. But also the application that we deploy with Bria Teams is super intuitive, very, very easy to use. But also probably the most important thing is it's very reliable, particularly in the mobile space. And I think that's something that we kind of talk about in the industry and kind of, you know, wave our hands at and arms at, that kind of thing. But, you know, the mobile experience is so important to the overall usage of UCC, especially with the current pandemic, because users need to have their mobile phone on them all the time. They need to be able to communicate with it. So having an application that is on the business side that is very reliable, reachable, doesn't fail, for example, when you switch between Wi-Fi and the mobile network, is very important. And those are the things that are important for the customer to have from a user experience. And that's why at Counterpath, we really start with the mobile experience first and work our way back into the desktop, because the desktop's a little bit easier to manage, because you're at worst nomadic, at best you're fixed. But with the mobile device, it's always changing. The environment is always changing. Everything from network connectivity issues and having that throughput that you need and being able to respond to it on an application basis, but also being able to work with different accessories that are attached to it and being able to make the user experience super easy. I mean, you can even start a video conference call right from your mobile device. So that's why the mobility aspect is really important and feeds into that Bria Teams story as it relates to that solution.
So I picked up in what you were talking about just then, also improved utilization of features.
Yes, that's been an important focus for us. And, you know, coming from the soft phone only side of it, a lot of our users obviously, you know, think of us as that soft phone VoIP provider. But being able to interject the team messaging and video conferencing, I think is actually going to be almost more important for our users, you know, down the road than just the VoIP services, because the interaction between the two makes it very important for them to be able to communicate on a universal basis with not just other team members that are on the same network, but also external users as well. So that's been a big focus of us, and making it easy to utilize those services in a way that fits within the workflow of our customers, our end users, regardless of what channel we go through, whether it be through service provider or traditional VADVAR channels, that type of thing. We want to make it very easy for our end users to use that technology, and that's been a focus for us.
So switching gears and looking at it from the point of view of the channel and the MSPs and other companies that are actually selling or reselling services. You know, it's a really complicated moment because there's all the changes that are happening with their customers, and there's a lot of questions about, you know, what should I be offering in my portfolio? So how does this pan out for them?
Yeah, so over the last, I would say 24 months, we've really focused on our go-to-market and to make it very easy for customers to access our technology and our products and solutions. Because obviously, you know, we've done a lot of work around the user experience, as we always talked about earlier in this podcast. So we have a couple different ways that we go to market. I think it's good to start there. The first way is we have our 100% digitally delivered go-to-market channel, which is our store. It's our online store. And we sell two solutions there. One's called Bria Solo, which is for the individual user that just wants to have a solution that they can have screen sharing built in. They can also be able to have voice capability against the PBX, that type of thing. But then they can go to a solution called Bria Teams, which enables video collaboration services as well, and team messaging, that type of thing. I think that's really important for the customers as well, because they're able to quickly develop their own team with an online portal, and they don't have to have a PhD in VoIP technology to do it. It's a very simple online setup. So we have a lot of folks in different roles that aren't technical that are signing up for Bria Teams. And basically, effectively, they get video conferencing, collaboration, screen sharing, and they get, of course, the voice overlay to their PBX if they so want to hook that up, but they don't have to. And that's within that solution. So it's a little bit different than the Solo. I think I mentioned that Solo had screen sharing. If it doesn't, you would have that in Bria Teams. But regardless, the idea about being able to have this overlay solution quickly, but start with team voice so you can communicate with your team, having team messaging right away, is super important for our customers. So that product is delivered 100% digitally, and anyone can sign up for it. We, you know, of course, there's a trial program there. You can add users through the portal very easily, that type of thing. So we and by the way, we've seen different use cases there. You know, it's targeted towards the SME, you know, side of end users. But, you know, in some cases, I know that families have used it to communicate within the family and have family, you know, get-togethers and chat virtually. So I think it's, you know, we've had a personal trainer use it for his personal training business and using it for, you know, the classes. So we're finding that it's kind of branching out into different areas. So it's kind of fun to see these different use cases emerge. So that's that solution. Now, on the traditional VAD VAR channel and our ITSP, MSP business, those type of channels, we have a product called Bria Enterprise, which is the same thing really as what I described with Bria Teams. It's just branded as Bria Enterprise. But on the channel side of it for VAD and VARs, we have it integrated into a partner portal. So you can have a VAD have an account that sets up a VAR that can set up another VAR within the VAR kind of thing. It has a very nice parent-child relationship all the way down the chain. And they can provision users within a second, really, and have them up and running very quickly. And that's great because they get access to all the services I talked about before, collaboration, depending on the package they get, collaboration, team messaging. It can overlay with their current call server solution, that type of thing. And the channel likes that because they don't have to get involved into the soft phone so much. They can sell it over what they've already sold to customers. And the other thing, a lot of the channel partners that we deal with, at least, have a lot of open source-based deployments, like FreeSwitch and Free PBX, Asterisk Space, those kind of things. And a lot of those companies don't have access, easy access to video collaboration or screen sharing tools that are directly related to those platforms. So they have to layer on other services like Slack or Zoom or things like that. And then we get into that dilemma we talked about earlier. We have multiple tools that are costing, you know, additional money and just costing more in general. And if they went with our solution as an overlay, they get the business phone and then they get those other services for, in some cases, you know, a third, half, a sixth of the price that they're paying today with all these other tools that they may be using. So that's a very powerful solution that we found selling through the channel. And our channel business has been doing very well. And I think it's because of that we have the right offering for that type of scenario. And then for the MSPs and the ITSPs and even the larger traditional service providers that want to get away from being me too, we see that they're taking our Bria Enterprise solution, customizing it with their logo, their brand, their technical customization so they can differentiate in market, and then they resell it. And they so virtually OEMing it into their customer base. And I think that's an interesting space as well, because I think these over-the-top providers, just like Skype did early on for VoIP, are kind of paving the way for the market and showing that people do use these services. So I think a lot of these service providers can use the same kind of tools to compete against them, those other over-the-top providers, and do it with their brand and do it their way and leverage their current infrastructure to have the cost competitive, high value solution to their customers and through their channels as they go to market. So we're very excited that, you know, we have these three different approaches to market, you know, 100% digital through us, the VAD-VAR channel, traditional VAD-VAR channel, and then the service provider channel as well.
So how is this playing out at the vertical level, industry by industry?
Yeah, so I think that's a great question. And kind of what we're seeing and what we're focused on is that, you know, what I'll call the horizontal space, which is really everything we covered up to this point in this discussion, is you know, becoming more and more competitive, and everyone's racing, you know, kind of to the bottom in terms of price, higher value, of course, along the way. But what we see and kind of what we're focused on is the verticals, because the technology we've developed for the horizontal space fits nicely into the future roadmap, or the features, I think, of verticals into the roadmap, that is. And let me give you some examples. So we, back in January, we announced our relationship with Honeywell, and Honeywell leverages us in their safety and productivity group with the handhelds to sell into a variety of different verticals. That could be travel and logistics, that could be healthcare, that could be retail, hospitality, a lot of those, you know, verticals that need that handheld device. And these are rugged devices that would be used in these cases that are typically Android-based. And in that market, you know, it's a big focus on applications like push-to-talk, which we have, voice communication, messaging. But if you think about and kind of, you know, think about the future a little bit, you can imagine that a lot of those verticals could leverage UC and UCC. So team messaging instead of doing push-to-talk, as an example, certainly would fit with the younger worker, frontline workers that are used to messaging as a first line of communication. And then also video conferencing. And someone may say, well, why would someone at a retailer want video conferencing? Well, when you think about the shopping experience, it always becomes every day more and more competitive. And differentiation still, it really comes from one area, and that's customer experience and making sure the customer has the best buying experience and doesn't have any cognitive dissonance after the purchase and doesn't, you know, second guess what they're doing. And so when you think about video conferencing, you could start at your home, let's pick on the retail side of it here, you could start at your home with a call into the retailer that you want to, you know, discuss a product that you want to buy. And that retailer could take you to a video conference session with the sales associate, where their sales associate, you would see that person, the sales associate on your screen. And then what they would see perhaps is something that you're trying to share, whether it be a kind of just a quick drawing of how you want to lay out your speaker system for your house, whatever the use case may be. And then they could actually show you the product on the floor. They could actually do a demonstration on the floor of what you could buy. And especially given the pandemic, you know, that's a safe way to show it. They could demonstrate it. You start developing that relationship with that salesperson over the phone. And then when you go pick it up, you know, it makes that kind of transition very easy. It's not so cold as it is, you know, without that type of thing. So I think those kind of scenarios are going to happen as we progress, you know, down the path in those verticals. And healthcare has already seen it. We have some customers today that are, you know, into telehealth and leverage, you know, our SDK, for example, into different solutions out there. But being able to do remote health is very important, and having the video conference calls in that regard to work with your doctor on particular particular medical issues is kind of a very obvious use case. So I think as we go forward, these verticals actually benefit a lot from all the technologies that we've developed in this horizontal space for what we just dub as, you know, unified communications and collaboration. Is going to be even more profound in these verticals and more helpful to the different use cases that fit within the workflow, which is a big, big important piece of this, that fit within the workflow of those verticals.
So Todd, I want to thank you for joining me today and giving us an overview of, I think, a really, really timely topic right now, because I think we've really been talking about what are the next steps in the coming months as we move into the new year. In making the services that channels sell very relevant to the enterprise and how enterprises should be thinking about their next steps too. Where can we learn more?
So definitely go to www.counterpath.com. Our website is a perfect place for that. I think also our social media channels is perfect too. We produce a lot of content that really deals with a lot of the kind of the issues that a lot of end users face in UCC and how to leverage the best tool sets and things like that. It doesn't just cover Counterpath, but it covers these kind of themes that are helpful for users. So I think that's a great a place to kind of keep apprised of what's going on. The space is moving very quickly, and I definitely would subscribe to our LinkedIn and Twitter and feeds, and you really can pick up on a lot of what we're producing there and learn a lot. What we do. We also work with a lot of different partners in the industry to kind of share information and best practices. So definitely, I think that's a great way to keep apprised of not just Counterpath, but the industry in general.
Well, Todd, thank you. Always timely. Counterpath, thank you very much. Look forward to our next podcast. I'm sure it'll come up soon.
Thank you very much, and appreciate being on.